Starting here.
Where are we holding?
All right, we're holding on Sadiq Hay on the Allah, seventh line.
The seventh from the top?
Seventh from the top, yeah.
The body roll.
Okay, so we started discussing the Lachem Aponim yesterday. Most of the discussion was about the shape of the Lachem Aponim and how exactly it sat on the Shulchan, which is something that we're going to be taking up later on in the Perek again when we talk about the Snifim and the Kanim and whatever. But for now, something else. Iboiru. We have a question. The Lachem Aponim is staying on the Shulchan from week to week. You put it on Shabbos and you take it off the following Shabbos. So the question is, Lachem Aponim nifso b'masois or en nifso b'masois? Does it become possible during the 40 years they're traveling in the Midbar? So they're still having, they're having Lachem Aponim on the Shulchan. The question is, when they're traveling, when they're taking apart the Mishkan and carrying the Shulchan with the Lachem Aponim on it, does that Lachem Aponim become possible because it's been taken out of the Heichal? Usually the Shulchan stays, has been taken out of the Mishkan. Usually the Shulchan, yeah, when, like this, it stays inside the walls of the Mishkan. Like this is being taken out because everything's being, because the walls of the Mishkan themselves are being taken apart and everything is on the move. Does the Lachem Aponim that's on the Shulchan become possible at that point? So Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Levi. So Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Levi discuss that question. Chad Amar Nifsol, Chad Amar Eini Nifsol. One says it does become possible, and the other one says it does not. Manda Amar Nifsol, the one that says it becomes possible, he says, Bechtiv Kashid Yachnu Kein Yisol. Because like this, the Pasuk says, as they camped, so they traveled. So the simple meaning of that Pasuk means that they traveled, means that they camped and traveled in the same order. So we know when they camped, they had the Mishkan in the middle, they had Levium around that, and then they had the four Dgalim, each one with three Shvatim, around that. You have Rashi on the Pasuk mentioned, we've learned about it someplace, I don't remember where now, in the Gemara that you have, in Erevin, I think is maybe one place, but anyway, you have a discussion someplace in Shas, whether when they traveled, did they also travel in the same square, or did they travel in a straight line, more or less single file?
What
does it mean? That's the simple meaning of Kasha Yachnu, Ken Yisro. The simple meaning of it means that as they camped, in the same formation that they camped, as in the same order that they camped, is how they traveled. So again, either it means that they traveled in the same exact formation, you still had Yehuda on one side and with his two Shvatim, and Reuven on one side with his two Shvatim, and Ephraim and Dan, each on their respective sides. No, so yeah, on the east, south, the north, and the west. You have all four sides, and the Mishkan traveling in the middle, or that's called Kateva, or you have the other possibility, Kakoda, they went like a straight line, and so you have Yehuda, then Yehuda and their Shvatim, then Reuben and their Shvatim, and then the other two sets of Shvatim. Okay, be that as it may, but here we're darshaning something else from the words Kashayachnu Keniso. It's not just telling us the order in which they traveled and the order in which they camped. It's also teaching us about a din that applies equally when they're traveling and when they're camped. So, Ma Bachana Yosa, just like when they're camped and the Mishkan is set up, Nifsova Yose, then if the Lachem Aponim is taken out of the courtyard of the Mishkan, it'll become possible, because it has to be eaten inside the Mishkan. It has to be eaten inside the court, inside the chaser of the Mishkan. So that Manda Omer will say the same thing when it's traveling also. It's outside of the Kloyim, because there are no Kloyim, because they've been taken down and they're being carried. Therefore, the Lachem Aponim will become possible.
Why does it have to be climbed? To...
Because that's what we're saying. If it's taken out of the Kloyim, then it's possible. So just like
it's
when
not,
they're camped.
It's not taken out of the Kloyim. The Kloyim was taken
out. Okay, the bottom line is it's being taken out of the area where the Kloyim were. The Shulchan is being taken out, and the Kloyim are being taken down and rolled up and carried away.
So
in other words, according to that opinion, every time they started traveling, then their Lachem Aponim that's on the Shulchan would become possible. Manda Oma Einin. So the opinion that says it doesn't become possible says, because after all, the Pasuk says, the Lechem Atomid all of Yiyah. The Pasuk says the Lechem Aponim should be on the Shulchan. If it's going to be on the Shulchan, that means that it still has its Kedusha.
And
it stayed on the Shulchan as they're traveling. So therefore, that apparently means that all of Yiyah, yeah, they would carry the Shulchan together with the Lechem Aponim on it. So I'm fine that even, so Hagoyes V'Tziyonim adds, Shishim Kobretis adds that means even, adds a line to the Gemara, which I guess he had in his caveat, that even, it means even when they're traveling, it's still called Lachem Aponim, it's still called the Lachem Aponim, and it still has its Kedusha. So therefore, okay.
They can't travel with the Kloyim, obviously not.
The question is, does the Lachma Fonim become possible because it's right? So that's the question. So one opinion says yes, one says not. So the question is, the Idach Nami, okay, the second opinion that says the Lachma Fonim is still kosher when they're traveling. Hoktiv Kasha Yachnu Kenyiso. What does he do with the Pasuk Kasha Yachnu Kenyiso, which the first Manda Omer is using to say that that means the same dinim apply both times, and the same, and therefore he argues that just as it's taken out of the Tloyim when they're camped, then it's possible the same thing when it's taken out when they're traveling. He says, Le'idach Gisa. He says, no, the comparison in the pasuk is actually exactly the other way around. Ma b'chana yosek, ki lo yosem m'kayim lo yifzol. What it is like this. When they're camping, if the lachem upon him is not taken off out of its place, it stays on the shulchan remains inside the mishkan, lo yifzol. Well, for that matter, when the lachem upon him is taken out off the shulchan, but it's kept inside the azara, inside the kloyim, lo yifzol, it doesn't become fossil. Ah, minisiyosek, the same thing when they're traveling. It's not being taken out of its place. In that case, its place is on the shulchan, wherever the shulchan is. Therefore, it doesn't become possible. It's moving, but it's staying on the shulchan.
Relative to the shulchan.
Relative to the shulchan. It's staying, exactly. Yes. Therefore, so that Manda Omer would argue just the opposite. You're thinking that Pasuk says that implies that it's possible when they're traveling Adra, but that Pasuk is telling us that it's kosher. And the Pasuk, the Lachem HaTamid, all of Yia supports that, so we see that it's still called Lachem HaTamid when it remains on the Shulchan when they're traveling.
Because
the Lachem HaTamid, all of Yia. And he's saying, you're trying to bring a proof to the contrary from Kasher Yachni, can you sow, but just the other way around. It means as long as it remains on the Shulchan, it remains kosher regardless. Okay. Yeah.
What is the first Yerusha says about Halaf Yia?
About all of you, nothing. The Pasuk says all of, oh well, that's the question. The Idach Nami of Tivalachim Atomid all of you. Okay, the first opinion. What is he doing with the Pasuk, the Lachim Atomid all of you? Which on the face of it implies that it still is considered Lachim Atomid when it's on there.
Yeah.
So no. So we can't understand the Machalikas that way. We cannot understand that it's just a basic Machalikas about what happens to the Lachim Atomid when they're traveling. There's no question when it's traveling that the traveling itself is not possible. Rather, we have to understand the machloekas like this.
We can't,
right, because what are they going to do with that process? So we have to have a different way of understanding the machloekas. So like this, first opinion is rejected. That version of the machloekas, that version of the machloekas is rejected. We're not saying that the machloekas is what happened as soon as they packed up the mishkan and started going, does the lachem upon right away become possible? Rather, we have to understand the machlokas differently. Ella, the author of Dini Omer, when Reb Dini came from Eretz Yisrael, he said like this: "B'mesuder kula almalei tligi." When the lachem aponim is set up on the shulchan, then there's no question that it remains kosher because the lachem atomid all of year. Ella ki tligi b'mesulak. The question would be: what happens if it was? What if it's mesulak, meaning taken off? Now, the version of Rashi that we have in front of us that's printed in the Gemara is that Mesudra means it's still on the Shulchan, and Mesulak would mean that it wasn't yet time to take it off the Shulchan, and then the order came from Shemayim to travel. But the Shitra Mekubetis changes the Girsa a little bit in Rashi to make it fit better, that Mesudra means it's still on the Shulchan because it didn't come time to take it off yet. You're supposed to take it off the following Shabbos, so they put it on the previous Shabbos, comes in the middle of the week, comes Wednesday, let's say, they get the order to travel, the Onan starts moving, there's the Vahid and Soya, et cetera, the whole procedure that they had over there, and therefore, so it's still Mesudra, and therefore there's no question, it's still on the table, there's no question that it's kosher. So what would Mesulak mean? Mesulak would mean that it was actually removed from the Shulchan, but they hadn't had a chance to eat it yet.
Mesudra means
that it was actually laid out on the Shulchan still as it's supposed to be. But then there's no question that doesn't become possible. The question would be Mesulak, where it was taken off the Shulchan. The question is, it was taken off the Shulchan in order to distribute it among the Kohanim. So now it's among the Machna Levim because they're carrying it with them. The question is, now does it become possible? Now, the Shittim of Kubetis asks the obvious question, when did they take it off? They took it off on Shabbos. They're not traveling on Shabbos. So therefore, what's the question? Is on Shabbos itself, they would have had to eat it.
The question was, if you remove it from the Shulchan, is it...
Just removing it from the Shulchan itself doesn't make it possible, because every Shabbos, that's what they did. They took the old Lachem Aponim off the Shulchan and distributed it among the Kohen. So no, the, question would be, in other words, that on the face of it, the way we're explaining it now in the Gemara is, kitligi b'mesula, that once it was taken off the shulchan, so then, in other words, the idea is, it was taken off, but they didn't have a chance to eat it yet. Well, then, and then the question would be whether it becomes possible. Well, but in that case, the Shitim Okubata says, then what are you, Tosfos points out later, at a later point in the Sugya, that they obviously didn't travel on Shabbos itself. You know, many malachas involved traveling on Shabbos, and we don't find that they were given a heter to do those malachas on Shabbos. Forget about the Mishkan. Okay, you could argue malachas with the Mishkan or just the Shabbos, but not, for example, the rest of the people have to travel, they have to put things on their animals, they have to whatever. Yeah, so yeah, Tchumin, et cetera. And so therefore, what's the case over here that we're talking about that it was taken off the Shulchan, and you're asking what happens when they start traveling. As it's kept till the next day, then the next day it becomes possible by Luna anyway, like any other Minchah, it has to be eaten on that day.
They have to eat it on Shabbos.
So therefore, the Shita Mekubetet answers that suppose you have that one time Shabbos came out on Yom Kippur. Now we're going to learn in a few blocks later on in our Perek. Normally the Lechem HaPanim would be distributed on Shabbos during the morning or the afternoon or whatever, and the Kohen would eat it on the spot there on Shabbos. But when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, obviously they can't. Then they divide it up among the Kohenim, and the Kohenim eat it that night, which is fine because Menachos can be eaten on the day they're brought and the night afterwards, like all Kodshei Kodshei.
Is it best something to sit into until the next Shabbos?
Okay, if you have the Lechem HaPanim is placed on the Shulchan every Shabbos and taken off the following Shabbos, but if the Shabbos, when they take off, the Lechem HaPanim happens to be Yom Kippur, they can't eat it that day, so they take off the old, they put on the new, they burn the bazichin, etc., the two spoonfuls of the vayna, but the Lechem HaPanim itself, for the Kohenim to eat it, they can't eat it that day because Yom Kippur, they have to wait until Mukti Shabbos, so Mukti Yom Kippur, and then they can eat it that night. So the Shulchan Aruch says that might be the scenario that Gemara is talking about over here. Suppose that one time Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincided, so they had taken off the Lechem HaPanim on that day because of the Shabbos and put on new Lechem HaPanim. They can't eat it yet because of Yom Kippur. Then that night before the Kohenim had a chance to eat it or to finish eating it or whatever, the order comes to start traveling.
So
now the question is whether it becomes possible.
I don't think the Mishnah would want to. They should travel on Shabbos.
It's not on Shabbos, but on Mosse Shabbos. Wait, on Mosse Shabbos. We're gonna get to that later. Hold on. You're asking something that the Gemara itself is gonna take up later. So wait. Okay. That did they travel at night? But wait, we'll get to that. Okay. So fine. So anyway. Okay. So getting back to sort of didn't you say like this? If the Lechem HaPanim is on the Shulchan where it's supposed to be, everybody would agree that it still stays kosher even when they're carrying it from place to place. The question is, the Mesula, if the Lechem HaPanim had been taken off the Shulchan and had not yet been eaten. So, Manda Omen Nifso, the one who says it's possible, there you have, the Siv Kasha Yachnu Ken Yiso. There's where he's using his spot, the Kasha Yachnu Ken Yiso. As they camped, so they traveled. And again, the same comparison. Ma Bachana Yose Nifso Vayose. Just as when they're camped, if the Lechem HaPanim is taken out of the Azorah, out of the Kloim, out of Machna Shechina, then it becomes possible, even if it's only brought into Machna Levia. But the same thing over here. Now, when they're traveling, there is no Machna Shechina because it's all folded up. All you have is Machna Leviyah and Machna Yisrael. So therefore, So therefore, when they're traveling, yes, it'll become possible because it's taken out of Machna Shechina because right now there is no Machna Shechina. And Lamanda Oma Amin Yisrael, where's the second opinion, who says that won't be possible. He will say, he says, never mind the Lechem HaTomid all of year, because now you can't use that anymore, because now I'm talking about the Lechem HaTomid on the Shulchan. So now he needs a different Pasuk to tell us that the Lechem HaTomid won't become possible when they're traveling. He says, because the Pasuk is Venosa Oyhol Moyed, the Pasuk says, in Parashas Bamidbar, it says the Oyhol Moyed shall travel, and it describes over there how it travels in between the Degolim. So you have the group of Yehuda starts going, then they have the people who are carrying Gershon and Merari who are carrying the beams and curtains and whatever of Mishkan. Then you have Reuben with their two Shvatim. Then you have the family of Kohath who are carrying the Kalim of the Mishkan. So this way, by the time when they get to their destination, when they get to their destination, Gershon and Merari have a chance to set up the Mishkan, and then by the time they're done setting it up, B'nai Kohath come with the Kalim and they put them in. Anyway, the point is,
they went with the
So Bnei Gershon and Bnei Merari had their wagons up in the sea. Wagons that they used to carry the beams and their curtains and whatever. Bnei Kohath had to carry it on their shoulders. Anyway, the point is, because that's what the Torah says, that they should do that. Remember, we have this case where David mistakenly thought they should put the Aron on a wagon and terrible things happened. Anyway, the point is, the pasuk says, V'nasa oyo moyed, the oyo moyed shall travel, from which we learn, so even though it's traveling, still considered the oil mine. Therefore, the lachem afanim does not become possible by being taken out of machnas shchina, because you have it. It's still going along with the pieces of the mishkan, and that can still be considered oil mine. That can be considered machnas shchina even when it's on the move. Okay. So now again. Okay. Fine. So now
even without a climb.
Right. Well, that's yeah. So now we're saying again in the first version of the machlokas, we didn't say that. We said that he would say it's possible altogether. Now we said when it's on the shulchan, then we're definitely good. The question is when it was taken off the shulchan and distributed among the kohanim and they're carrying everything. Okay. So again, the idach nami yachsiv kasha yachnu kenyiso. Okay. The second opinion that says that is kasher. What did he do with the pasuk kasha yachnu kenyiso, which implies that the same dinim apply when you're traveling and when you're camping? The answer is, again, as before, le'idach gisa. He would say the pasuk is making the comparison exactly the other way around. Ma b'chana yosa, ki le'matik le'lemisto, just like when you camp, if you don't take the lachem afanim out of the zone where it is supposed to be in, namely the area inside the klayim, then it doesn't become possible. Afmin isiyase, the same thing when they're traveling, ki le'matik le'lemisto, as long as they don't take it out of the area where it's supposed to be, meaning that they're going together, the kohanim are part of Bnei Kohath. So the Pashas, they go together with the Bnei Kohath, together with the Kalim of the Mishkan. So therefore, as long as they're going along with it, they're not taking it out of that area, then it doesn't become possible. So just the opposite. In other words, you first, Manda Amma, wanted to argue that it's being taken out because it's not inside the Kloyim, therefore it should be possible. Okay, so the Torah is telling us that even while you're on the move, even while you're traveling, it's still considered to be inside the Kloyim. Okay.
Because
it's together with the Kalim and together with where it's supposed to be in Mat Malabi.
The Shulchan,
okay.
And the
Shulchan and the rest of the Kalim.
And okay.
The Idach Nami of Sivanotha Oyomoyed. What about the first opinion that says it does become possible, where he's saying because he's learning Kasha Yachnu Keni So to be that as long once it goes out of its zone, then it becomes possible. What is he doing with the Pasuk Vinotha Oyomoyed, which implies that it's still considered the Oyomoyed even when they're moving? The answer is Hamulad Golem Udasa. That pasuk is not telling us that it's still considered the oil moyed at that point. That pasuk is just telling us what the order of travel has to be. That you have two shvatim going, and then you have the oil moyed, namely the kalim of the oil moyed going, and then the other two shvatim. So it's not meant to teach us any din about that it's considered the oil moyed at that point. It's telling us, Poshet, what you need to know as far as how they were supposed to be traveling. Okay. The idach, what would the other opinion answer to that? He would say, "Machne halavim, the sechem machnes nafka." He says, "You don't need the words v'nasa oyho moyed to teach us that, because the pasuk continues. That same pasuk continues. The v'nasa oyho moyed, machne halavim, the sechem machnes. The machne of the levim should be between the machnes. So you see clearly from that that the levim are traveling between two machnes before and two behind. So therefore, he says, from that alone, you know what the order of what the order of travel is supposed to be. Two, six shvatim, then the levim carrying the kalim, and then six shvatim. So therefore, if we have the extra words, but not the oil moyed, then that must be teaching us that it's still considered the oil moyed even while they're traveling. Okay, so that's that opinion. The other opinion apparently still disagrees with that and says that no, you need the word v'nasa oyomoyed to clarify, because after all, you also have, I mean, there's two different groups of levim that travel in different places. You have Bnei Gershon and Bnei Merari travel after three shvatim, after Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvolun, carrying the pieces of the Mishkan, carrying the beams and the curtains. Because that's how the Torah says to do it. Because the idea is that way, meanwhile, you have another three shvatim going, Reuven, Shimon, and Gad, and that way, that gives Bnei Gershon and Bnei Merari time to set up the Mishkan before Bnei Kohath come with the Kalim, and they need to put him right in. Like this, you don't want the Kalim sitting. You don't want to stay. You don't want to. It wouldn't be respectful to have them sitting around there waiting until they finish putting up the Mishkan. So therefore, the Torah says to do it that way, that you have three shvatim go, Yehuda and the rest, three shvatim of Yisraelim, right? Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvolun. Then you have Gershon and Merari the two of the three families of Levim go carrying on the wagons. They have the beams and they have the curtains and they have all that stuff. Once they come to the next spot, they start setting up the Mishkan. Meanwhile, you have Reuven, Shimon, and Gad are coming, and behind them are Bnei Kohath.
Which is the Kohanim?
Which is, Bnei Kohath includes the Kohanim, but it also the rest of Bnei Kohath are Levim. So the Kohanim are responsible for wrapping up.
Does not include the Kohanim.
No, the Kohanim are from Kohath. The Kohanim are Kohath, then Amram, then Amram, then Aaron.
Right.
So no, all the Kohanim are descended from Kohath. So you have, when Bnei Kohath are going, then they, when Bnei Kohath are going, the Kohanim are going with them. And therefore, so the Kohanim are responsible, says at the end of Parashas Bamidbar, they're responsible for wrapping up the Kalim, and then they assign Levim to carry, then they assign which Levi is going to be carrying which one, put them on their shoulders and all. And so now, so like this, when, again, Bnei Gershon and Bnei Merari, they set up the Mishkan in the new spot, wherever the honor stops. And then after that, but meanwhile you have Reuven, Shimon, and God, 150,000 people, just the men of army age, plus their wives and children and animals and all that, are coming. So by the time all of them are coming, you have enough time for Gershon and Merari to set up the Mishkan, and then for Bnei Kohath to come, and right away they find the Mishkan set up, and they can immediately
put
the Kalim where they belong.
They want to set up the Mishkan.
They
right.
want to put the Kalim where they belong.
So, well, I guess, okay, so Bnei Kohath maybe would put them down, and then I guess the Kohen would unwrap them and put them where they're supposed to be, because you don't want the Levium looking at them, whatever. The point is that... Yeah, this is a politic mention at the end of Parashat Bamidbar. This is all a side issue. The point is, in other words, that the point is that, yeah, so you have like this, the Mishkan is set up by the time they come, but in other words, so this Man B'Omer would say, okay, when it says, V'nosta Oyo Moed, Machne Alevim, instead of Machner, that whole half of Pasuk is teaching, that entire half of the Pasuk is teaching us the order of how they travel. They have some Levim first and some Levim after that. Nothing about that it has the din of Oyo Moed while they're traveling. Whereas the second opinion would say, the extra words, V'nosta Oyo Moed, teach us that it still has the din of Oyo Moed while they're traveling.
They set up right before the Lech HaPanim came, everything.
Yeah.
It was set up.
Yeah, that's what we're
right
saying.
Up.
That's what we're saying. That way, right away. They
was
on the Shulchan. No, it's with Bnei Kohath.
With
Bnei Kohath. So that's the point. By the time Bnei Kohath come, the whole framework of the Mishkan has been set up, and that way, all they have to do, they can bring the Aron in where it's supposed to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Kohanim can unwrap it. They can bring in the Shulchan where it's supposed to be, and the Kohanim can unwrap it. Same thing with the Menorah. Same thing with everything else. Yeah. The Gemara says Maisi. Okay, but I have a contradiction to this. So you're telling me then, in the course of this Machloikas, you're telling me that you have an opinion that says that, actually you said you have both opinions are saying so far, that as long as the Lechem HaPanim is on the Shulchan, then it remains kosher even when we travel. But we have a different price that it says, we learned this in Zvachim, the Shas Siluch Masoit, at the time when the camp is being taken apart and they're moving, Kodshim Nifsolim B'Yoseh, any Kodshim that they have in the Machanah become Posel, because it's considered Yoseh, at that point they have, in particular we have Kodshim, in other words, the ones that are supposed to stay inside the Azara, become Posel, because you don't have any Tloim to keep them inside. But the Zovim and Mitzaroyim Mishtalkin Chutzlum Chitzosan, you still have that Zovim and Mitzaroyim have to be sent outside of the zones where they're not allowed to be in. So you have the Gemara mentions in a number of places, in particular you have a sugya about the Sitzchachim, where you have Mitzaroyim have to be outside all three Machnas.
Yeah.
Zovim and other people similar to them, Zovim, Zovos, Nidus, I don't remember if Nidus, Yoldus, whatever, they have to stay out of Machnas, they can be in Machnas Yisrael, but they have to stay out of Machnas Levia. And then you have Tmei and Mace, who are allowed to be in Machnas Levia, and they're only not allowed in Machnas Shvina. But while they're... Yes, the Gemara mentions it over there.
Zovim
Kanas. The Gemara mentions over there. Well, the logic, I don't know, because different levels of Truma. But so you have different levels of Truma. But Zov is a higher level of Truma in a way, because Truma Yotza Olam Igufa, because the Truma is coming out of his own body. As opposed to a Tommy Mess, is he became Tommy because of a side thing, because of something that he touched or something he was in contact with. But the Gemara mentions over there, you have, for example, that Moshe took Yosef's bones with him. Where's Moshe living? In Machna Levia. So you see that even the mess himself is allowed in Machna Levia, much more so the Tmei. Anyway, that's how it is. So therefore, so the idea is, for the Braise Seva, so the Zovim have to stay out of Machna Levia, and the Mitzrayim have to stay out of even Machna Yisrael. So therefore, so when the, not even the Mitzrayim, I'm sorry, So therefore, so the shas still look my side. So again, when they're taking apart the camp in order to travel, kodshim nifsalim b'yotzei. So now there's no more machnas shchina. Therefore, any kodshim that they had that are supposed to be inside the kloyim, inside machnas shchina, become possible. This daven u'mitzorayim meshtafen chutzam chitzasim. On the other hand, we still have machna levia and machna yisrael. So the rules for zavim and mitzorayim still apply. They still have to stay out of their respective zones, even when they're on the move. So the question is, my lava feel like I'm upon him. If you're telling me that all kodshim that have to stay inside the kloyim become possible when they're traveling, on the face of it, that means even the lacham upon him. So what are you telling me that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi hold that as long as the lacham upon him is on the shulchan, it's for sure okay from this braisa it seems that because the braisa is saying that any kodshim become possible by Yosef, because they've gone out of the kloyim. The answer is, why bar me lacham upon him? No, the answer is, it means everything except for the lacham upon him. Okay, the question is monafshach in that case. What's the logic? Either way you look at it. E oyhomoyed dafku. If the pasuk that you're quoting v'nasa oyhomoyed means it still has the status of oyhomoyed, and it means really dafku, it really is exactly like that. Afilo kodshim nami, then even all the other kodshim should remain possible because they're near the oyhomoyed. They're again being carried along with it. E oyhomoyed lav dafku. And if you're telling me the word oyhomoyed is not specifically meant to teach us that it has the din of oyhomoyed when they're traveling, after the lacham aponim nami, then even the lacham aponim should be possible. What's the logic? What's the logic to distinguish between the lacham aponim and all the other kodshim, where you have this last braisa over here, and neither Rabbi Yechonon nor Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi can argue with the braisa? They're both amiroyim. So you have a braisa that clearly says kodshim on nifsal b'yosei. So how do you have any opinions that say that the lacham aponim remains kosher, even according to the first opinion, we had one opinion that says when it's on the shulchan it remains kosher. In the second version, we said both of them agree it's kosher. But the braisa seems to be saying that not. And what's the logic? Yeah. And the braisa doesn't seem to be distinguishing between the lacham aponim and anything else, and we have no logical reason to say. No. Elati also Robin, no. Rather, we have to understand the machloikas is not really machloikas at all. When Robin came from out of Israel to Babel, Omar, he said, it's not really machloikas. Mar Omar b'mesudar or Mar Omar b'mesulak, the one opinion that said that it's kosher was talking about when it's still on the shulchan, and the other one that said that it's possible was talking about once it was taken off the shulchan. No. Before we were saying that, Before we were saying, Rav Dimi's version was that everybody agreed as long as it's on the shulchan, it's good. The machloikas was once it's taken off the shulchan, where you had one manda omer said that it was good, and one said that it's not good. Now, Robin is saying, no, when it's off the shulchan, everybody agrees that it's possible. And when it's on the shulchan, everybody agrees it's kosher. So therefore, v'loi pligi, there's no actual machloikas. Rav Yochanan was talking about one case. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was talking about the other case. So that's it. There's no actual machlokes. Everybody agrees as long as it's on the shulchan, it's good.
So now the version is...
So now we're saying as long as it's on the shulchan, then we're saying it is kosher. So really, in other words, really, oil moyed, lav dafka, really, we're not learning from the word oil moyed. Itaka doesn't have the din of oil moyed, and that is why all the other cards should become possible. However, with the lacham aponim, since you have the pasuk that we quoted before, the lacham aponim all of year, that the lacham aponim remains on the shulchan, then that makes an exception that the lacham aponim is different than all other kodshim. So therefore, it's not contradicted by the braisa, because the braisa is indeed talking about kodshim that depend on oil moyed, whereas here we're talking about the lacham aponim, which depends on the shulchan. So therefore, so if it's on the shulchan, everybody agrees it's okay. If it's taken off the shulchan and it was distributed among the kohenim, and then they're traveling, everybody would agree that it's no good, that it becomes false.
So we make the distinction between olmoed and shulchan, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Olmoed, we say, doesn't apply.
Doesn't apply, but shulchan applies.
Shulchan applies.
Right.
Now the Amar Mar Ben Sudar, one says...
So one says that it's talking about Ben Sudar when it's still on the shulchan, then it's kosher. Omar Omar Mesulah. The other one is telling us what happens when it's taken off the shulchan, that then if they travel, it becomes fossil. V'loi pligi, there's no actual muscle.
Okay.
Fine. Omar Abaya. So Abaya says...
Why do you need two discussions?
Because that
obviously, if you say it's on the shulchan, it's kosher, that when you take it off, it's fossil.
No, because that, again, we had Rav Dimi's version said that not, that when
so
it was taken off... But now we have another version. So now Robin explains that there's no actual machlokas. We thought there was a machlokas, and we tried to explain the machlokas. Now we're saying there's no machlokas.
No.
They're just talking about different circumstances. Okay. Abai. No, it doesn't seem redundant. That was reported in this way that Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Levi, one said nifsal, one said ain't nifsal, and now we've clarified they're not actually arguing. They're talking about two different scenarios. Omer Abai.
One thing you did up in the other.
Okay, it's not necessarily because you see in Rav Dimi's it was.
In Rav Dimi's it was.
Okay, but new, we don't. the bottom line is just because you have that they agree on one doesn't necessarily mean they agree on the other. Therefore, Robin has to inform us that they do. Okay. Amar Abai, Shema Mina Yesh Chiluk Masoris Balayla. The Abai says, you see from this whole discussion that it's possible to, that it was possible to have that they're going to travel at night. We know when yeah, that's what you were saying before. So when would they travel? They would start traveling whenever the unknown that's on the Mishkan would start moving, and you have a whole then on everywhere. You have the unknown that surrounded them, and then you have one that rested on top of the Mishkan.
That was the unknown.
The unknown that we're talking about. That when it started moving, then when it started moving, the Yid knew that it was time to start going. And you had, I don't know how fast it moved, whatever, it gave them time to pack up. But you had a whole procedure over there. It would start moving, Moshe would say, he didn't say, they had to blow the chapotris, there were multiple steps in the procedure. But anyway, the first stage of the procedure, it's described most of it in Parshas Ba'alos, so Abaye is saying, you see from this whole discussion, that such a thing could happen at night. If the Onan started moving at night, then it meant they're going to start packing up and moving at night. They're not going to wait for the following morning. What do you mean it wasn't like night? What do you mean it wasn't like day? They had
so much light.
No. Where do you get that from? They had a pillar. The Onan was a pillar of fire by night. It gave them enough light to see, but they still had night. They still had night and day. Yeah, of course they still had night.
Nobody went to sleep?
No, of course. No, on that particular night. No, not particularly nice.
The men, the women, the children.
Hey, knew this is if Hashem said that they should do it, then obviously it would be a case where Hashem knew that they're able to do it. The whole concept, the thought that goes, there's several psukim over there in Parshas Ba'aloscha that stress over and over this idea, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisto, because that was the idea we needed right at the beginning of our history as a people. We needed that kind of thing where we're always traveling and resting only purely by the command of Hashem, so that we learn, so we learn that concept of basic Kabbalah oil that has served us well as a nation for 4,000 years.
Yes, I
could be there on the camping for one day. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, Abaye says, you see from this whole discussion, that such a thing could happen at night, and if the clouds started moving at night, then they would start traveling at night. So Rashi explains, we see that from this discussion because we said that Kodshim becomes possible because of Yosef. In other words, the idea is that because if they would only, well, let's see, the E stopped out of Ain Stilbuk Masoyes Balayla, because if you were to argue that there's no such thing, they never started traveling at night, they would always start traveling in the day, well then Amos Madli, well then when would the cloud go, when rather would the cloyim be taken up, Lestafra, they'd only be taken up in the morning anyway, in that case, my Iri, Mishum Yosef, then at that point, you don't need to say that Kodshim apostle on the grounds of Yosef, typically, it's the Lahu Belina, obviously they became apostle anyway, because they were left overnight. So if you had, in other words, if a korban was brought the previous day, a man finished eating it, it's anyway nicer. Right. Because the fact that we're saying that they became possible only because of Yosef means that it has to be at night. Okay, Tosfos asked the question, if that case, if we're talking about regular kodshim, you could answer that, let's say, for example, you had, that let's say they started traveling on the same day a particular korban was brought. Let's say, a korban was brought in the morning, and that same afternoon, the cloud started moving and they packed up everything and started going, then you could have it become possible by Yosef without Lina. So what kind of a proof is that? So therefore, Tosfos says, rather the proof is from the Lechem Afanim. Given that, again, the Lechem Afanim was taken off the Shulchan on Shabbos, and they weren't traveling on Shabbos itself because of how many Malachas would be involved, then therefore, the only way to say would be if they were traveling Motzei Shabbos. Because if they were traveling by Sunday, if they were first traveling Sunday morning, then it would have become possible by Lina anyway, because it can't be left off the Shulchan overnight. The Kohen have to eat it back. So that's what we're saying. So that's a bias thing. You see from this discussion that conceivably they could start traveling on Mata Shabbos. Otherwise, if the earliest they could travel after Shabbos would be Sunday morning, then there's no issue about the Lachem Aponim becoming possible by Yosef. Anyway, either they ate it that night, or either they ate it Shabbos and Mata Shabbos, or it became possible anywhere. Yeah. That's the point.
What do they do during the holidays?
I mean, you don't take the Lachem Aponim off during the Yom Tovim. If the Yom Tov is in the middle of the week, the Lachem Aponim stays on the Shulchan. So that's the point. The Sakhdad ain't still with Masoyes Balayla. If you were to think that there's no such thing as beginning to travel at night, Amos Madli, then when would they take up the Kloyim and then start packing up everything? Lestafra, only in the morning. In that case, Ma'iri, Mishum Yosef, then why bother mentioning the Lachem Aponim would become possible because it was taken out of the Azorah? Typically, the Ishtalei Belina would become possible anyway because of Lina, because it was left overnight. Okay, The Gemara says pshita. Obviously, they can travel by night. Lolechas yom and v'layla. The pasuk says to travel by day or by night. So that's why they have the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. The answer is ma'ud tema hanim yilehecha de'oku b'yimama. If it weren't for Abaye's statement and for the whole discussion that we had, you would think what it means is if they started traveling by day, true, they could continue traveling into that night. Avol hecha de'oku b'yimama. But you would think that maybe if they didn't start traveling during the day, the leil and mustu akri, maybe during the night they wouldn't actually begin traveling, because after all, yomim then laila. Kamash Malon, that is the chiddush that nevertheless you still had, conceivably they could start traveling by night. That, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean that they actually ever did. We're talking about hypothetically, if they did. Yeah. Okay.
They didn't have to travel during the day, to travel by night. In other words.
Right. It could be that the cloud would lift off by night and they'd start traveling by night. Okay, now we said before in the last braisa that we quoted, we said that when they're traveling and they have the Mishkan is taken apart, we said that there's no machna shchina, therefore kodeshim become possible, we said with the exception of the lachma upon him, but we said zovim and mitzaroyim still have to stay out of their respective areas, but uramini, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A braisa says, huglulu ha-paroiches, once the paroiches is rolled up, meaning that the Mishkan is being taken apart, Hutru has Zovim and Mitzrayim leikanes l'sham. Then Zovim and Mitzrayim are allowed to come into the area where the Mishkan was.
Well, what's the contradiction?
The contradiction is that, so what do you mean they have to stay outside the Machna? They're allowed to go right to the spot where the Mishkan was, they're starting to take part.
Anybody?
That's the question. Hugulu aparechas means we're only beginning the process of taking apart the Mishkan, and already we're saying Zovim and Mitzrayim are allowed to go in there. Why? According to what we're saying, they still have to stay outside Machna Yisrael. There's a Mitzrayim, and the Zovim have to stay outside of Machna Leviyah. Amravashi, like Kasha Harav Eleza Harabam. So Ravashi says it's not a contradiction because one Brai says according to the Eleza, and the other according to the Rabbam. Namely, like this, Ketanya, Rav Eliezer Omer. Now let's say, for example, we know that the Korban Pesach is brought even if most of the Sibur is Tumah. We know that there's tumor Tchoy or Butcher, as the case may be, the Sibur, and it's brought even the Tumah. So Rav Eliezer Omer, Yochol Dochoku Zovim Mitzrayim, V'nichnas Tula Azor V'Pesach. So then you would think, at a time like that, when they're bringing the Korban Pesach, the Tumah, you would think that if the Zovim and Mitzrayim push their way in, V'nichnas Tula Azor V'Pesach above the Tumah, and they came into the Azor. Now you have to keep in mind, this heter to bring the Korban Pesach, the Tumah, only applies to Tmei Emet. It does not apply to other kinds of Tmei. It doesn't apply to Zovim, doesn't apply to Mitzrayim, doesn't apply to Nidus, doesn't apply to Tmei Sheret, etc. So now, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, suppose that the Zovim and Mitzrayim pushed their way in and came into the Azorah on Pesach. You would think, Yochol Yuchayoven, you would think they should be Chayev Kores, just like any other time. No, Talmud Loimah, therefore the Pasuk says, V'yishalchom in a Machna kol Tzarua v'chol Zov v'chol Tomei l'Nefesh. The Pasuk says they should send out of the Machna all the Mitzrayim and all the Zovim, and anybody who's Tomei Mes. Meaning, by putting those three together, we have a hekesh, b'shar sh'tmei emesim mishtachin, at a time when tmei emesim are being sent out of machne shchina, under normal circumstances, in other words, then zovim and mitzrayim mishtachin, then the zovim and mitzrayim have to be kept out of their respective zones also. But ain't tmei emesim mishtachin, but at a time now when you bring the Pesach to the Tumah, and therefore the tmei emes are allowed to come into the Azorah, unusually, because usually the tmei emes would not be allowed into the Azorah, Ein Zovim and Mitzrayim Mishalchen, so therefore the Zovim and Mitzrayim are not being sent away either.
Because of the
Hekesh. So therefore, in other words, they're not allowed to. It's only if they dochku v'nichnas ul azorah b'diavad. But nevertheless, we see from that that they're not chayav kares.
We apply to the Mitzrayim and Zovim what we do to the Mitzrayim.
Because we're saying that they're all in the one pasuk, right? So yeah. So therefore, so applying that to the previous braisa, we had one braisa saying that the Zovim and the Tzoroyim have to be kept out of the Machna even when they're traveling. That would be according to the Chachamim. The last braisa that we quoted that says that once they roll up the paroches, the Zovim and the Tzoroyim are allowed to go in, that would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. And in fact, by the way, Mephoshim points out, I mean, fine, in the case of the Korban Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer is saying only the Dieved if they came in, because even the Hatchila, it's not like the Tmei Mes are just allowed to wander in there for no reason. They're only allowed to come in there when they're doing it to bring the Korban Pesach. Therefore, the Zavim and the Sarayim also is only the Dieved. Here, when they're rolling up the Paroichas and taking apart the Mishkan, then everybody's allowed to go there even the Hatchila.
The Chacham
would disagree with that. The Halacha, actually, well, the Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer as far as the Zavim and the Sarayim on Pesach. That we do say that if they go into the Azorah on Pesach above the Tumah, then they're not chayav kares. They're still also to do it, because that's what we have that hekesh.
They'll
they're allowed to go.
Okay, not they're allowed to, but if they did, actually the parent Ora says an interesting idea about that. He says, based on that, then maybe you could argue that nowadays, if a Tomei goes into Matnas Shechina, goes onto the Harabayit, into the areas that he's not supposed to, based on this, not that they're allowed to, but maybe they wouldn't be Chayav Kares on the basis of what we're saying over here. On the other hand, the Karen
saying is but yeah, that's not
fine. We're not saying let's do it like a obviously, the Karen Ora would agree you're not allowed to do it like a chila. But you could argue that maybe the Dievet, if they did it, they're not Chayav Kares. On the other hand, a counter argument to that is we're talking about, or Sugya is talking about, when there's no Machna Shechina, but there still exists the Machna Leviya and Machna Yisrael. Nowadays, it's the other way around. There doesn't exist, as far as halacha, a Machna Leviya and a Machna Yisrael, because Yerushalayim doesn't have the same Kedusha that it did before, but the actual site of the Beit Mikdash still has the same Kedusha as before. The Shechina never left it, as the Rambam says. Therefore, it's the other way around. You can't say that just because there's no Machna Yisrael and Machna Leviya, therefore, that there should be a Hesher for Machna Shechina, that if a person goes in there, he shouldn't be Chayav Kares. No, you wouldn't.
But there's a Tomei Meister. Tomei Meister, that's not allowed.
The Karen Ora is arguing, based on our Gemara over here, that since we see that if the Zogim and Mitzorayim go into the Azara on Pesach Ababa Tumah, then they're parted from Kodesh, by the same logic, they were to go into the area where the Azara was, nowadays they also wouldn't be Chayav Kodesh. Okay, but obviously, if the Zavim and Mitzrayim can't, how much more so the Tzmeimeth? The Tzmeimeth are even allowed in there for the Korban Pesach. The Tzmeimeth is a lesser to the Tumah as far. But again, the counter argument to that Acharonim say is it's different. It's one thing when you don't have a Machna Shechina, but you have Leviya and Yisrael. It's the opposite nowadays where you don't have Leviya and Yisrael, but you do still have Machna Shechina. Then no, the same rules would still apply, and a Zavim, Mitzrayim, or Tzmeimeth or whatever who goes in there still would be Chayav Kodesh.
What's the situation where you're going to have Machna Leviya and Machna Yisrael?
Because you don't nowadays, because you don't have those places, don't have the same Kedusha as before. But Machna Shechina is Machna Shechina, the place of the Beit Mikdash, still has its original Kedusha, according to the Rambam anyway, that either holds that it doesn't, but it's only the Rabbanan that it's also to go in there, but anyway. Okay. Fine. Mishnah says, Achas Shtei Alechem V'Achas Alechem Afonim.
The Goyim
don't have
Tumah, right?
The Goyim are, Midaraita, there's no such thing as Tumah by Goyim. Midrabbanan or Goyim are considered Zot.
So,
Midaraita they don't. So the fact that they're going nowadays the busha and a cherpa, and it's a pity that Israel has allowed that state of affairs to go on so long, but yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Achas Shtei Alechem V'Achas Alechem Afonim, both the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Afonim, Lishosan V'Arichosan V'Bachot, the kneading of them and the shaping of them it can be done outside the Azara, but the baking of them has to be done specifically in the Azara, for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara. The Einan Doiches is a Shabbos. On the other hand, they're not Doiches Shabbos, the baking of them has to be done before Shabbos.
I
mean, eat both the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Afonim. It's a common, it's common. That's the style in the Mishnah and Gemara terminology. Okay, both this and that. That's the way it's said. Okay, the Einan Doiches is a Shabbos, but they're not Doiches Shabbos. They have to be baked on. They have to be baked before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Koma same between. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Everything involved with the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Afonim has to be done inside the Azara. Again, for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon says just the opposite of Rabbi Yehuda. La Olam Hebed Rogel Loimar. Always be in the habit of saying, Shtei Alechem, the Lechem Afonim, Ksheres Ba'azara Ukshares Bebeit Pagim. They're kosher if they were baked in the Azara, but they're equally well kosher if they were baked in Beit Pagi, meaning in other parts of Yerushalayim. We've discussed before earlier in our Masechta about what Beit Pagi means. It's either a particular area in the Har HaBayis or a particular area in Yerushalayim, or a more general term for any area of Yerushalayim where you're allowed to eat Kodshim Pagi. So what else? So we have the bottom line. So we have three opinions in our Mishnah. We have the Tanakhama saying that the kneading and shaping can be done outside the Azara, but the baking in the Azara. Rabbi Yehuda says everything in the Azara. Rabbi Shimon says everything can be outside the Azara. So the Gemara says, first of all, Hagufa Kasha. We seem to have a contradiction in the opinion of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. You're telling me that the kneading and the shaping of the dough for the Shtei Alechem and for the Lechem Afonim can take place outside the Azara. So apparently we see from that, now we had before in the previous perek, we had the machlokes about whether the midas yavish, whether the measuring cups for dry things in the bis mikdash were niskadish, were they made to be a kli shoresh, that they should be makadish, whatever you put into them, that it'll have kedushas haguf. So apparently here we're saying that the midas yavish, because remember, they had to first measure out the flour for the shtei lechem and for the lechem aponim using one of those measuring cups for the bis mikdash, using the sorin measuring cup. So what are we saying? That you're allowed to, according to the Tanakhama, you're allowed to knead them and bake them outside the Azara. So obviously that means that the Midas Yavish is Loinis Gansha. Therefore the flour that you put in here did not have Kedushas HaGuf, and therefore you're able to take it out of the Azara without it becoming possible. That's the point of Rashi. Tosfos learns a little bit differently. Tosfos in various places in Arma Sefta learns that just because flour was placed in a kli shoreis and measured doesn't necessarily mean that it becomes possible by yotze. It can have other psalim could apply to it. If it's full yom touching it, makes it possible. But to become possible by yotze, you need a later stage in it. So therefore, Tosfos says we're not really talking about the question that it would become possible by yotze. We just mean once it's put in a measuring cup of kodesh in the bais hamikdash, it would be a gnai to take it outside.
But it's not possible.
It wouldn't actually be possible. It would just be a gnai. That's our Tosfos point.
But dough would be.
No, we're talking about flour. So far.
Right.
It's right. Okay. So therefore, so Alma Midas Yavish Loinis Gansha. On the other hand, Ba'af Yosin Bismim. On the other hand, we're saying they have to be baked inside the Bais Mikdash. Alma Midas Yavish Nisgansha. So therefore, obviously that means that the Midas Yavish, that's being baked in, does have Yosha. Therefore, so midas yavish should be fashion. Bepashas means mid bepashas means the thing that you bake it in. So what is it? Is the midas yavish niskadsha or is it not niskadsha? Okay. Omer Rabba, so Rabba says, Hitcha Odom Kosher Shul Kosher Kabarzel. You should know that this question was brought up by a very tough person, a person who's as tough as iron, meaning Rashi says, Chacham Mechoda, he's smart and he's sharp, that he can cut through the halacha, he can figure out the halacha like iron. So that's Rav Sheshet, no less, came up with this question. He questioned the premise of the question. We asked the question that between the two midas yavish, so Rav Sheshet pointed out my kasha. He said, what's the contradiction? Duma istarim lemekadesh tana mekadesh. Very simple. You could say that there's a difference between the istarim and the oven. The istarim was not miskadesh, let's say, like Rabbi Akiva said before, but the oven, we could say has kedusha.
What was the istarim?
The istarim, the measuring cup that they used to.
It wasn't mekadesh, huh?
Yes. So therefore, so what kind of a question do you have, or what's the problem with the Tanakhama's opinion?
The initial question
was we assumed that whatever is used for dry things is all on the same level. So therefore, that would include the measuring cups that we use to measure out the flour,
right,
as well as the oven that was used for baking it. Yeah. And the answer is there's a difference. The measuring cups weren't necessarily in the Scottish, the oven was. Okay. Ela e kasha ha kasha. No, rather. Oh, you're right. That's not the question. Rather, the question we can have is something else. We continue in the Mishnah about the Yosin B'Sim. We continue in the Mishnah that according to the Tanakhama, the baking of the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Aponim has to take place in the Azara. Alma Tanur Makadish, which means, therefore, the Tanur, that when they're baked in the oven, is what gives them their Kedusha. Only once they're baked in the oven do they now have Kedusha Zaguf, such that they'll become possible if they're taken out of the Azara. But on the other hand, the ain doichas of the Shabbos. But on the other hand, we're saying that the baking of them is not doichas Shabbos, implying it's the lebelina. But on the other hand, then it's the lebelina. Then they should become possible by lina. So how can you bake them on Friday when then, by the time Shabbos morning comes, and you're supposed to be using them, they're going to be possible because they were left overnight. So that's the question. Ella Amar Rava Hiksa Adam Kosher Shu Kosher Kabalzul Manor of Sheshes. So again, Rava says that a tough person, a chacham, a mechodet, a very sharp talmid chacham, came up with this question, namely Rav Sheshet. And unlike in the previous one, where it means that Rav Sheshet, where it means that Rav Sheshet questioned the premise of the question, here Rav Sheshet actually pointed out this question himself, and there wasn't an answer. How could it be? Not Yavish. Forget about that. The question is, how do you have that on the one hand, it becomes kodesh when you bake it in the tamer, but on the other hand, that you're able to bake it on Friday and leave it for Shabbos without it becoming possible by Yosef? That's the question.
Can you what?
Okay. Anything that goes in a kli shoreis has a number of dinim. One of them is that becomes possible by linen. If you leave it overnight, it becomes possible. So the question is over here, if you're baking it in a tanur, which obviously the tanur must be a kli shoreis, because otherwise we wouldn't have to say that it has to be baked inside the azara. It could have just as well been baked outside, like Rav Shimon says. So obviously the oven itself must be a kli shoreis. Well, then once it's in the oven, it would become possible if you leave it overnight. So how are you baking it on Friday and leaving it overnight for Shabbos? Omer Rav Ashi, my kosher. So Rav Ashi says, what's the problem with that? Dilma may b'mifnim b'makam zrizin. Maybe the word b'mifnim doesn't mean actually inside the azara. It means they do it outside the azara, so therefore the oven is not a kli shoreis. It just means b'makam zrizin. It means you have to have it done in a place where you have zrizin, in a place where the kohenim are working. Because the kohenim are zoris, they have to make sure that it doesn't become chomet. So therefore it wouldn't necessarily mean that just because it says b'mifnim doesn't necessarily mean in the azara. It could just mean that you have some place outside the Azara, but you have some place where the Kohenim have to be working on it and have to be Zoris on it. By the way, you have a number of Kohenim asked, beginning with the Noda Behuda. In that case, how does that answer with the Shtei Alechem? The Shtei Alechem do become Chomets. You don't need Drizim for that. You have a variety of different answers that it means that they have to be Zoris as far as the other details of making it properly, or it means they have to be Zoris as far as making sure that it becomes properly Chomets. Or the Noda Behuda himself wants to say an answer that just, we're not going to start distinguishing between different menachos. If we're going to say that some of them are done by Zrizim because they have to make sure not to become chomet, then we're going to say across the board that all of them have to be done by Zrizim, even the ones that can become chomet. Okay. However, the Gemara says, V'hozir of Ashi Baruchim. However, this that Rav Ashi said belongs outside, which is a respectful way of saying, in other words, that it doesn't begin. It can't possibly be correct. Because you have to ask. Either way you look at it, that explanation doesn't work. And if you're going to tell me that when it comes to the baking, you need koyanim who are zoris to make sure that it gets done quickly without becoming chomet, lishavari chanani beinim zrizim, then the same thing when it comes to the kneading and the shaping, I should also need koyanim or zrizim. And yet, the Tanakhama said, lishos and varichos and bachut. So what would that mean, according to Rav Ashi? The lisha and the aricha can be the kneading and the shaping can be done by anybody, and only the baking has to be done by kohenim or zrizim. What's the logic? The e lisha va'aricha loyber in zrizim. And if when it comes to the kneading and the shaping, you don't doubt you need kohenim or zoris, after yanami loyber in zrizim, then there's no reason that the baking specifically should need zrizim. So no, therefore we have to say that what Rav Ashi said belongs outside. It can't possibly be a correct answer on Mishnah.
The correct answer,
in that case, on the face of it, we're left with a contradiction in our Mishnah. That on the one hand, again, you're baking them in an oven in the Azara, which was Pashas, the Kli Shoreis. On the other hand, we're saying that you don't bake them on Shabbos, so you have to bake them on Friday and leave them over. So how does that work? The Tosfos says, in that case, obviously, it's one of those Mishnayos where different Tanoim said different parts of it. So you have two different opinions. You have one opinion would say that one you have within the Tanakhama itself. In other words, you have two opinions. One would say that the oven is a kli shoreis. That opinion of necessity would have to say that lechem afanim and the shtei lechem are baked on Shabbos, because otherwise you have the problem of lina. The other opinion would say that the oven is not a kli shoreis, and therefore that the other opinion would say that the oven is not a kli shoreis. So no problem of lina. In that case, then they can be made on Erev Shabbos. But in that case, it doesn't necessarily have to be between.
So that would be
a machlokas within the Tanakhama itself. On the other hand, the Rambam paskins both of these statements. The Rambam writes that the lechem aponim are, he follows the Tanakhama, that they're baked inside the Azara. On the other hand, he says, Einim Berachas is a Shabbos. How does the Rambam work that with what we're saying over here? So you have a lot of different answers that are given. including it may get into the whole issue that we've discussed before in our Masechta of Klei Sharis Mekadesh and Shalom Midas or not. Does a Klei Sharis automatically, is it automatically Mekadesh what's inside it? Or is it only Mekadesh if you had in mind to? So in that case, if we say that it doesn't, if we say that Klei Sharis ain't Mekadesh and El Adas, then fine, you put them in the oven. The oven is a Klei Sharis, but you have in mind that it shouldn't be Kaddish yet, because otherwise you're going to have a problem with dinner. And then therefore, you leave it to tomorrow morning, and the next morning when you put it on the shulchan or do whatever you're supposed to do with it, then it gets its kedusha lagur. That's one answer.
You put it tonight, basically,
that it won't be, and then that it won't be mekadesh yet while it's in the oven. Yeah, so that way, yeah. So that's one. What do you mean then? So that's the point. In other words, so therefore, that's the point. So if, for example, so the lechem afanim, they have to be put on the shulchan on Shabbos, so you would bake them on Friday, but you'd have in mind that the tanur, which is a klei sharis, should not be mekadesh then, and therefore, according to that, it wouldn't be mekadesh. That's one answer, and then a different answer that a couple of achronim give is that the Rambam might hold that there's different stages in the kedusha in how the shtei lechem and the lechem afanim get their kedusha. You might have, for example, that you have one stage, when they're measured with the dry measuring cups, where then they become pasul by tzvulyoim, let's say. You have a later stage in the oven, when they're put in the oven, where then they become pasul by yoytzeh, if they're taken out of the azara. And then you have a third stage, which will only happen at a later point, when they're put on the shulchan, when they reach their full kedusha, where then they'll become pasul by lina. So no problem. You can bake them on Friday, and the fact that they were in the klei sharis didn't yet give them the kedusha to that extent. Somewhat similar to what Tosfos says before about. No, according to that, it doesn't matter kavana or not. According to that, it would just be that the different clay shards that are used in it, each one gives it a different dimension of kedusha.
The main one being.
So the final one would be when you finally put it on the shulchan or when you put it together with the shnei klosim or whatever.
The one is when you put the flour in the keli.
Second one is when you bake it, and the third one would be afterwards when you put it on the shulchan or with the shnei klosim. Yeah. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and Makom Asen B'Sneim Mechola, we said Rabbi Yehuda says that everything with the Lechem Afanim is done inside the Azara, and then we had Rabbi Shimon says just the opposite, all of it can be done outside the Azara, even the basement. Amar Babo Bakahanu Shnein Mikra Echad Doshu. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are darshaning their opinions based on the same passage. So you have like this. You have it in Shmuel Aleph, it tells a story. So we know the famous story of Mocha Chodesh, how David is hiding out over there for a couple of days, and then Yonatan goes and gives him the signal with the arrows that my father is angry with you and you better run for your life. But David goes to the city of Noi, which is a city of Kohanim. The Mishkan was there and the whole city is inhabited by Kohanim and a couple of divines. David is starving. And in fact, we learned when we got there, that it was a mistake on Yonatan's part to not give David some bread before he left. So like this, David is starving.
Why he didn't give him bread?
He didn't think to. It didn't occur to him. But the Gemara says that was a mistake on Yonatan's part. Anyway, the point is, so David comes to Noiv, starving. He goes to the Kohen Gadol Achimelech, and he asks Achimelech, do you have any bread? And Achimelech tells him the only bread we have here is Lechem Afanim. Remember, this is the city of Kohanim. We don't have Cholin food over here. And basically, as we're going to go through the discussion over here, not the only bread they were allowed to eat, but practically speaking, that was the only thing they had right then. Okay, I mean, you have some of the Poshim on the Pasuk explains they have Lachmei Torah, but Or Gemara is not going to that. Or Gemara is going with the idea that it was Lachmei Torah. So anyway, so you have a short discussion between Achimelech and David, and the upshot is that Achimelech gives him Lachmei Torah. Later on, he masters to Shoal about David, and then Shoal is angry, and he wipes out the whole city. Okay. Anyway, so you have a positive question. When David is discussing this with Achimelech, he says like this: For who derech choil? He says it is in a way of in a mundane. David saying to Achimelech, it is in a mundane way. Even if today it's going to become Kaddish in a keli. So what does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda saw, so Rabbi Yehuda understands the story like this. It means that David found the Kohanim baking the Lechem Afanim on a weekday. So baking it on Friday, let's say. And he says to them, what do you mean? Why are you baking it in a mundane way? Why are you baking it on a weekday? What's going to happen? Today it's going to become Kaddish because you're going to put it in a Kli Shabbos, namely the oven, today meaning Erev Shabbos, and if it's the label linen, by the time you put it on the Shulchan tomorrow, it's going to become possible by linen. So you should be baking it on Shabbos instead, David is telling Achinoah. By the way, you really...
No, that's
Rabbi Yehuda. That's the thing. Rabbi Yehuda is learning that that's what David is telling them. Right, okay, so David wouldn't hold that distinction within the Rambam. Right, okay, fine. By the way, of course, you can see in it, I mean, look at this, David is starving, he's on the run from Shaul, and he still has the head to have a discussion in Halacha. This is what it means to be Osek Vachoda. Okay. This is what it means when we say in Shilim all the time, when you have a typical Korean pet, and in other places when David talks about the joy that he had from learning Torah and how he's participating in it all the time, there is an example. Okay. So that's Rabbi Horta. Rabbi Shimon understands the story like this. The Shabbos, just the opposite. The Shabbos Ashkechinu to call for life. It was on Shabbos that David found the coin and baking the lachem upon him. Amalahu, and he says to them, Loi derech choyl v'isa l'mirdei. Shouldn't you be doing it derech choyl, meaning on a weekday? On Erev Shabbos, midi tanu mekadesh. After all, is it the oven that makes it kadesh? That it should cause a problem of lina? Shulchan hum de mekadesh. It's only when you place it on the shulchan that it gets its full kedusha and will become possible by lina. But therefore, there we go then. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, therefore, kol ma'aseim b'fneim, and therefore that it has to be doicha Shabbos. Because he learns that that's what David is telling them. You're supposed to bake it on Shabbos, otherwise you have a problem with Lina. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is saying, kol ma'aseim aksheres ba'azara aksheres b'beis tagi. In other words, it doesn't have to be done in the azara, because there's no issue of Lina. And therefore, there should be no issue of Lina. Do it on Friday, and there's no issue of Lina until you put it on the shulchan.
That's the source of the truth.
Okay. So the question is, we must amrit the shatafiyash to chinu. How could you possibly think that David is finding them when they're baking the lachem upon him? Well, here, but a couple of psukim later it says, the next pasuk actually says, vayitim loy akoyin kodesh, the koyin, Nachimela, gave him kodesh, gave him the lachem upon him, ki loy hoyosham lachem, ki im lachem upon him, hamusorim milipne Hashem, because there was no other bread there other than lachem upon him that had been removed from before Hashem. In other words, this wasn't the new lachem upon him that was just baked this week. This was the old lachem upon him that had just sat on the shulchan for a week, and now they were taking it off the shulchan, and they were going to distribute it among the koyin. That's the question. So what do you mean? So you're telling me that the whole discussion between David and Achimelech has to do about how you should be baking the lachem upon him. But according to this, David is there on Shabbos. They took off the lachem upon him on that day. And now David is telling them, give me some of that lachem upon him. That's the question. Elamai derech choyl lekamalahu. So what does he mean when he says derech choyl? So it can't have anything to do with baking or not, because we're not talking about the baking. No, what it means is we have to reinterpret the discussion like this. So like this. Hachi ka'amrelem. They, the Kohenim, are telling David like this. Lecha lechem ki'im lachem aponim amusarim lefne Hashem. We don't have any bread over here other than lachem aponim, which has just been removed from the shulchan before Hashem. And it's also for Zorin, so unless it's a matter of the Kuach Nefesh, then there's nothing we can do. Amrelem, right, of course. Amrelem, but so then David tells them, no. You're misunderstanding the situation. Loi mi boyahai. Needless to say, in this case, when you have lachem aponim that's already been on the shulchan and then was removed, where the koyanim are supposed to be eating it, to kiven to nafik loi mi me'ilah, since it's already past the stage of me'ilah, because when does me'ilah apply to it? Only as long as it's on the shulchan. Once it's taken off, any korban, once it comes the time that it's meant to be eaten, then me'ilah doesn't apply to it anymore. Here, it's meant to be eaten by the koyanim, therefore me'ilah doesn't apply. Me'ilah would apply when it's off limits to anybody to you. Here it's meant for the Kohen and Pete. So therefore...
You take it off from the Shulchan before it's allowed to be...
Forget about before. We're talking about it's taken off on Shabbos. Yeah. Fine, it's taken off too early. That's a different matter. We'll talk about that later in the past. Okay. So like this. Since it's been taken off and it's supposed to be ready for the Kohen and Pete, therefore Me'ilah no longer applies to it. So when Derech Choyl, when he uses in the Pasuk, who Derech Choyl, he's not talking about when the Lachem upon him should be baked. He's saying the lachem upon him now has a status to a certain extent of choyl. It's true that normally the kohenim has lost its status of me'ilah. It's not really considered in that sense kodesh anymore. But he says ela afilo ha'eich nami. He says not only the lachem upon him that was taken off, even the other lachem upon him which is currently on the shulchan, whereas he says in the pasuk va'afi ayoyim yikdash b'kli that today it becomes kodesh and a keli. He's saying, if you need to, give me some of that to eat, because I'm dangerously sick. Rashi mentions that David was suffering from bulmul. Bulmos is... We've had it in Yuma, there's a whole sugya about it. But yeah, Bulmos is, the Gemara mentions over there, that's a thing where a person is ravenously hungry and they can't see straight because they're so hungry. In modern terms, it might be something like low blood sugar, whatever it is, anyway. The point is, so therefore, so now we can understand the pasuk, v'hu derech chol, that David is telling him like this. This lachan upon him that you already took off the shulchan already has to a certain extent the status of chol, because the ilah doesn't apply to it anymore. But can't usually be eaten by a zor, but at least now that it doesn't have an ilah applies to it, so it's not really as much chodesh as before. But then he continues. Ki hayoyim yikdash v'kli. And even if we're talking about the one that today became kodesh because you put it on the shulchan, even that, because I'm dangerously ill, then it would be a matter of pikuach nefesh, and you could give me even that. So he says, make an exception to pikuach nefesh, but David is explaining that when he says v'hu derech chol is referring to the lechem that was taken off the shulchan, which has less kedusha than the lechem that is currently on the shulchan. Yeah, well, if it's Sakana, that's the point. David is saying, you can give me even the one that's on the shulchan now, because Sakana's not possible. We know that in that sugya and Yuma, that you override most, let's accept that, but it's Zorah, Gila, Arayis, and Shrif of Zamin, for Sakana's not possible. So yeah, I'd predict nothing. Okay. That's what David is saying. That it's true, under normal circumstances, neither the lachem upanim that's on the shulchan nor what's off the shulchan is meant to be eaten by zarim. However, in a case of sakonis nefarshis, either one, and the one that's been taken off has even less kedusha than the one on the shulchan, so there's even more room to be lenient with that one than there would be with the one on the shulchan.
Are you saying that if you're being on the shulchan, you would not do it?
No, that's David is saying. The fact is, I'm in a situation of the Kuroch Nefesh. If the Kohenim had already eaten all the one that was taken off the Shulchan, you would have to give me the one that's on the Shulchan, because I'm in Sakonis Nefashis. But since now you have the one that was taken off the Shulchan, and that has Lesher Kedusha, give me that. Which you have actually Halacha in that regard. You have in that Sugya and Yuma, it talks about the idea that if you have a sick person who has to be given something trace to eat, you give him what's called a Kal Chila. You give him whichever one involves less Isurim first. If you have to, give him something that involves more Isurim. If you don't have time to evaluate, then you give them whatever comes up first. But if you have a choice, then yeah, let's still be over there, yeah.
So you're saying in the past, it was kind of a banyere, of course, you yes. Whatever they had to eat?
Yes. I guess so. I mean, you had, of course, we all know stories of individual people who wouldn't eat even that, and that's their machmir on themselves. Are you allowed to? That you have the famous machlokus between the Rambam and the Balei HaTosfos, whether a person is allowed to go on the Siddur Nefesh for mitzvahs where they're not required to. The Rambam holds no, the Balei HaTosfos holds yes.
That's what the author ever did.
Indeed. Yeah.
So the Rambam says no.
The Rambam would say no, but the Balei HaTosfos would say yeah, and we're entitled to in general, in Jewish history, many more people will follow the Balei HaTosfos than that. Okay. Anyway, let's finish off over here. Okay. Yeah. The bottom line is, in other words, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon can't be getting their opinions from the story of David and Achimelech, because it has nothing to do with baking the lachem upon him. It has to do with after it was taken off the shulchan. Right. But Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Shimon, big Gemara, please. So no, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are just arguing on what they learned from their Rebbeim. Rabbi Yehuda learned from his Rebbeim that the tanur is Makadish, that the oven is Makadish lachem upon him and the shteilachem. Therefore, they have to be baked on Shabbos, because otherwise you have the problem of linner. Rabbi Shimon learned from his Rebbeim that it's not Makadish, and therefore they can be baked outside the Azara. They don't have Kedushas and Guf until they're placed on the Shulchan or whatever, and therefore they should be baked on Erev Shabbos.
That's
outside the Azara. When it's placed on the shulchan, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it gets kedusha when it goes in the oven. When it's crossed over in the oven, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Dekanami. In fact, we can prove this, that they're not actually arguing. They didn't actually get their opinions from Sukkim, but rather that they got them from their respective rebbeim. Dekatani, because our Mishnah said, Reb Shimon Omer, lo olam heve rogil loimer, always be in the habit of saying, shtei alechem b'lachal ponim, ksheres ba'azoro, ksheres ha'beis tavi. The fact that Reb Shimon had to use an expression like that, always be in the habit of saying, implies it's not something where there's a source in a pasuk, where then it's easy enough to remember the pasuk and then remember the limerick from it. It's something that they learned only bal peh, and therefore we have to stress, always be in the habit of saying this, so that you don't forget this din, meaning that he only learned it bal peh, and Reb Yehuda also only learned it bal peh from his Rebbeim. Shmamina, that proves that that's the source of their machloikas, what they learned from their respective rebbeim about whether the Tanur is Makadesh or not, and nothing to do with the stuff about David and Achim.
That's all
right. Okay, so to recap, since Yaakov has sometimes asked that we give a brief recap of what we learned. So we discussed the whole question of whether the Lechem Aponim become possible when they're traveling in the Midbar, and the summary was, in the end, they don't become possible as long as they're on the Shulchan. It does become possible once it's taken off the Shulchan, if then they're traveling that night.
What about at night? Are you allowed to travel?
We said that. We said that Abaye said we see from that they sometimes could travel at night. We said we have different opinions about whether Tmeim are allowed to enter these areas when the Mishkan is taken down. Rabbi Eliezer says yes, and the Chachamim say no.
Tamei Mes is
a lesser degree of Truma than Zavim Mes.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, as far as the Shei Alachim, and Alachim Afonim, we have different opinions whether they have to be baked in the Azara or whether they have to be kneaded and shaped and baked in the Azara, or some yes and some not. And we said ultimately, Beit Magi is not in the Azara.
Yeah.
So ultimately the question comes down to whether a big part of the question comes down to when they get their Kedusha Haguf. Is the Tanur Makadosh them, or do they only become Kadosh after that?
And according to...
Reb Shimon, they only become Kaddish after that. Therefore, they can be based outside the Azara. Therefore, they can be based on Erev Shabbos. According to Reb Yehuda, they become Kaddish once they're in the oven. Therefore, they have to be based on Shabbos itself, because otherwise you have Lina, and they have to be based in the Azara.
And
the Tanakama. And they're good for Shabbos. And according to the Tanakama sort of seems to be taking a middle view, which according to Tosfos, there's an argument within what the Tanakama himself holds. And according to the Rambam, you have the Tanakama is somehow being consistent in saying that they have to be done in the Azara, but they can be done on Friday, and you have those different explanations of the acronym, how exactly that works.
According to him, about Lina, there's no Lina.
So according to the Rambam, if they're based on Erev Shabbos, obviously there's no problem with Lina. So how that would work, those were the different possibilities that we talked about.
Yeah.